Thank you, Mr. Hawk, and good afternoon to all of you, and happy Sabbath to all of you here, and our congratulations, of course, to the Myers for 40 years of marriage. That's quite an accomplishment. I'd also like to welcome those with us on the webcast today. If you're not able to attend, good to have you with us today, joining us via the webcast. You know, if we've ever read through the books of 1 and 2 Kings over the years, and I would guess most of us most likely have, then we've read through what's recorded in the Bible of the stories of all but two of the kings of Israel and the kings of Judah. The stories of King Saul and King David are recorded in the books of 1 and 2 Samuel, but the stories of the other 41 kings of Israel and Judah are all written in the books of 1 and 2 Kings. Now, some of the kings' stories are short, while others are quite long, many of which contain lessons from their lives recorded for us to learn from. Now, there's a chart in my Bible that lists all of the kings of Israel and Judah by name and gives the number of days, months, or years that they reigned as king. The shortest reign of any of the kings was 7 days, and that was Zimri, one of the kings of Israel. The longest reigning king was Manasseh, king of Judah, and he was king over Judah for 55 years. This chart also lists the 20 kings of Israel, the 20 kings of Judah, and the 3 kings that reigned over the combined kingdoms of Israel and Judah. Now, the 3 kings that reigned over both Israel and Judah all were on the throne for the same amount of years. Saul, David, and Solomon were the 3 kings, and they all reigned for 40 years. Let's begin today at the very end of the 40-year reign of King David, as one of his sons would now be anointed as the new king over Israel and Judah and take his place on the throne of David. And we'll start with a little background of this transition of power from King David to his son Solomon. The story of Solomon started off pretty good with David giving him some very good advice. Let's read just a few verses of that, starting in 1 Kings chapter 2. So if you join me in 1 Kings chapter 2, we'll get a little background here of that time between David and Solomon taking over as king. 1 Kings chapter 2, and we'll read verses 1 through 4. 1 Kings 2 and verse 1. Now the days of David drew near that he should die, and he charged Solomon his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth. Be strong, therefore, and prove yourself a man, and keep the charge of the Lord your God to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes, his commandments, his judgments, and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that you may prosper in all that you do and wherever you turn. That the Lord may fulfill his word which he spoke concerning me, saying, If your sons take heed to their way, to walk before me in truth with all their heart and with all their soul, he said, you shall not lack a man on the throne of Israel. So some of David's instructions here to Solomon were that he should follow God's way, that he should keep his statutes and his commandments, keep his judgments, his testimonies, that he would prosper wherever he went. And Solomon started off by heeding most of the advice of his father. In 1 Kings 3 and verse 3, it says, Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of his father David, except that he sacrificed and burned incense at the high places. Now, Solomon is an example of a king who began as a mostly righteous king, blessed with great wisdom and understanding, who later turned his back on God and on following his way. The way that Solomon turned to idolatry and apostasy in his later years could be regarded by some as one of the most tragic stories in all of the Bible. But our focus today is on the beginning of Solomon's reign and not the end and what happened in those latter years of Solomon's reign as king. Now let's get back to our story in 1 Kings chapter 1. Turn back, if you would, to 1 Kings chapter 1. And we see that David is instructing a priest and a prophet to go and anoint his son Solomon to be the next king over Israel and Judah. We won't take the time to read the first 31 verses here of 1 Kings chapter 1, but it's a very interesting and an intriguing backstory of the events that led up to where we'll begin reading today in verse 32. 1 Kings chapter 1, and we'll begin reading here in verse 32. And King David said, "Call to me Zadok the priest, Nathan the prophet, and Benaiah the son of Jehoiada." So they came before the king. The king also said to them, "Take with you the servants of your lord, and have Solomon my son ride on my own mule, and take him down to Gihon. There let Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet anoint him king over Israel, and blow the horn and say, 'Long live King Solomon!' Then you shall come up after him, and he shall come and sit on my throne. He shall be king in my place, for I have appointed him to be ruler over Israel and Judah." Verse 36, Benaiah the son of Jehoiada answered the king and said, "Amen. May the Lord God of my lord the king say so too. As the Lord has been with me, with my lord the king, even so may he be with Solomon, and make his throne greater than the throne of my lord King David." Verse 38, so Zadok the priest, Nathan the prophet, Benaiah the son of Jehoiada, the Cherethites and the Pelethites went down, and Solomon rode on King David's mule and took him to Gihon. Then Zadok the priest took a horn of oil from the tabernacle and anointed Solomon, and they blew the horn, and all the people said, "Long live King Solomon." In verse 40, all the people went up after him, and the people played the flutes and rejoiced with great joy, so the earth seemed to split with their sound. So we see here that it must have been quite a loud, a raucous, or a joyous celebration that followed Solomon being anointed as the next king, taking the place of his father, King David. The decibel level of the music and rejoicing must have been pretty high if they thought that the earth might split open from the sounds. So Solomon now sits on the throne of the kingdom, as it says in 1 Kings 1 and verse 46. And David gives his son some final instructions in the first 9 verses of 1 Kings chapter 2. We'll not read those first 9 verses of 1 Kings 2, but I'd like to pick the story up here in 1 Kings chapter 2, beginning in verse 10. 1 Kings 2 and verse 10. So David rested with his fathers and was buried in the city of David. The period that David reigned over Israel was 40 years. 7 years he reigned in Hebron, and in Jerusalem he reigned 33 years. In verse 12, then Solomon sat on the throne of his father David, and his kingdom was firmly established. So the transition from David to Solomon is now complete, and Solomon's 40-year reign as king has begun. Within the story of Solomon's reign over Israel and Judah are many lessons that we can learn from. So today, let's review 5 lessons from King Solomon, and we'll also tie in some proverbs that may help us to remember these lessons. Mr. Haney and I didn't confer beforehand, but it must be the Sabbath of 5 lessons in a message. The first lesson that we'll look at, lessons from King Solomon, lesson number 1, Solomon asked God for wisdom and knowledge. Solomon asked God for wisdom and knowledge. Turn, if you would, back to 2 Chronicles chapter 1. When Mr. Haney went to 2 Chronicles, I said, "Oh no." And he read the verses in between the verses I'm going to read in 2 Chronicles chapter 1. So if you would, turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 1, and we'll read just verses 1 and 2. 2 Chronicles chapter 1 and verse 1. Now Solomon, the son of David, was strengthened in his kingdom, and the Lord his God was with him and exalted him exceedingly. And Solomon spoke to all Israel, to the captains of thousands and of hundreds, to the judges and to every leader in all Israel, the heads of the fathers' houses. So we see here God was with Solomon as he addressed all the leaders in Israel. And now if we would drop down to verse 7, 2 Chronicles 2 and verse 7. On that night, God appeared to Solomon and said to him, "Ask, what shall I give you?" And Solomon said to God, "You have shown great mercy to David my father and have made me king in his place. Now, O Lord God, let your promise to David my father be established, for you have made me king over a people like the dust of the earth in multitude. Now give me wisdom and knowledge that I may go out and come in before this people, for who can judge this great people of yours?" At this point, Solomon may have felt great pressure in being the king after his father David. He may have been feeling all the weight on his shoulders of judging and ruling such a great multitude of people and following in David's footsteps. So it is in this context that he asks God in verse 10, "Give me wisdom and knowledge to be able to judge this great people of yours." Now let's look at a couple scriptures in Proverbs that may encourage us to also ask God for wisdom and knowledge, like the example of Solomon. And although Solomon did not write every one of the Proverbs, the vast majority of the Proverbs are attributed to him. So turn, if you would, to Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1, we'll begin reading in verse 1. We'll read verses 1 through 7. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, to give precedence to the simple, prudence to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. To understand a proverb and an enigma, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Here we know Solomon is primarily addressing this to younger people here, but he said knowledge begins with the fear of the Lord. In another section of Proverbs that encourages us to continually ask God for wisdom and knowledge and understanding is in Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2, and we'll begin reading here in verse 1. "My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding, yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. He guards the paths of justice and preserves the way of his saints. Then you will understand righteousness and justice, equity, and every good path." Verse 6 here says, "For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding." Solomon clearly understood that, at least early on in his reign as king, but not so in the latter years, as we've already mentioned. Let's also go back to Proverbs chapter 18 while we're here in Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 18. Just pick up one verse here, verse 15. Proverbs 18 and verse 15. "The heart of the prudent acquires knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeks knowledge." Solomon asked God to give him wisdom and to give him knowledge and an understanding heart to be able to rule and to judge the people of Israel and the people of Judah. Now, we also can include that request to God in our prayers, asking for a deeper wisdom and understanding and knowledge of God's way, and for an understanding heart in us as well. He understood how valuable it was for him to have God bless him and grant his request. God knows what we need before we ask him, but we still need to make our requests known to God. Now let's go on to the second lesson that we'll look at from King Solomon. Lesson number 2, God heard and answered his prayer. God heard and answered his prayer. God's answer to Solomon is recorded in 1 Kings 3, verses 10 through 14, and also in 2 Chronicles 1, verses 11 and 12. Let's go back now to 2 Chronicles chapter 1. 2 Chronicles chapter 1. And we'll read verses 11 and 12, God's answer to Solomon for his request for knowledge and understanding and wisdom. And 2 Chronicles chapter 1, we'll begin here in verse 11. Then God said to Solomon, because this was in your heart, and you have not asked riches or wealth or honor or the life of your enemies, nor have you asked long life, but have asked wisdom and knowledge for yourself, that you may judge my people over whom I have made you king. Wisdom and knowledge are granted to you, and I will give you riches and wealth and honor, such as none of the kings have had who were before you, nor shall any after you have the like. God looks on the heart, and he knew what was in Solomon's heart at this time in his request for wisdom, knowledge, and for an understanding heart. And God granted that request and also gave him physical blessings of riches and wealth and honor that exceeded any kings that came before him or any of the kings that would reign after him. God truly blessed Solomon way beyond what he had asked for. Now let's read just a couple proverbs that tie in to our second lesson here from Solomon. Turn, if you would, back to Proverbs chapter 15. Proverbs chapter 15, and we'll read verse 8. Proverbs 15 and verse 8. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is his delight. God not only hears our prayers, but he is delighted in the prayers of his people, those he has called to follow his way. The prayers of the upright is his delight. Let's also skip down here to verse 29 in Proverbs chapter 15. Down to verse 29. The Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayer of the righteous. God hears the prayer of the righteous. God heard Solomon's prayer for wisdom and knowledge, and he answered that prayer, as we've already read. We should be encouraged in knowing that God does hear, and he does answer the prayers of the upright, the prayers of the righteous. Let's read just two more scriptures here in Proverbs before we move on to our third lesson for today from King Solomon. Go to Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs 16 and verse 1. The preparations of the heart belong to man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. And skip down now just a few verses to verse 9. Proverbs 16 and verse 9, a man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. A man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. We walk by faith, not by sight, confident in the promise that God hears our prayers and that he directs our steps. Knowing that God hears us and that he answers us is such a tremendous blessing and a comfort and should reassure us during those times of trials we go through in our lives. Of course, we're familiar with James' words in James 5 and verse 16 that the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Solomon felt the weight of the responsibility on his shoulders as he became king, and he sought help from God to give him the wisdom and the knowledge that he knew that he would need as king. Solomon made a bold request to God to grant him much greater wisdom and understanding than what he had, and God blessed him with much more than what he had asked for. God heard and answers Solomon's prayer, and he hears and answers our prayers as well. We should have faith in that precious promise from our Heavenly Father. Now let's go on to a third lesson from King Solomon, and lesson number 3 is this. Solomon's wisdom was a great blessing to others. Solomon's wisdom was a great blessing to others. Now, Solomon used the great measure of wisdom that God had given him to render justice and wise judgments for the people. All Israel quickly became aware that the wisdom of God was clearly in Solomon. He gained the respect of the people very early on. One such incident of his wisdom in judging his situation quickly spread to all the people of Israel. I'm not sure how they were able to do that so quickly without Facebook and Twitter and cell phones, but apparently even back then, news was able to travel pretty fast among the masses of people. Let's read the story that must have lit up their ancient social media lines among apparently all the people of Israel, as it says in God's word. So let's go back to that now in 1 Kings chapter 3. Back to 1 Kings chapter 3. And we'll read a story that it says all of Israel heard about and understood then that the wisdom of God was in Solomon. 1 Kings chapter 3, and we'll begin reading in verse 16. Now two women who were harlots came to the king and stood before him, and one woman said, "O my lord, this woman and I dwell in the same house, and I gave birth while she was in the house. Then it happened the third day after I had given birth that this woman also gave birth, and we were together. No one was with us in the house except the two of us in the house." So you've got two women in a house together. Within 3 days, they both have given birth to an infant. In verse 19, "And this woman's son died in the night because she lay on him. So she rose in the middle of the night and took my son from my side while your maidservant slept and laid him in her bosom and laid her dead child in my bosom. And when I rose in the morning to nurse my son, there he was, dead. But when I examined him in the morning, indeed he was not my son whom I had born." Then the other woman said, "No, but the living one is my son and the dead one is your son." And the first woman said, "No, but the dead one is your son and the living one is my son." Thus they spoke before the king. So they pleaded their case before King Solomon, both of them saying that their child was the one alive and the other's was the child who had died. And the king said, "The one says, 'This is my son who lives and your son is the dead one.' And the other says, 'No, but your son is the dead one and my son is the living one.'" Then the king, verse 24, said, "Bring me a sword." So they brought him a sword before the king. And the king said, "Divide the living child in two and give half to one and half to the other." Then the woman whose son was living spoke to the king, for she yearned with compassion for her son. And she said, "O my lord, give her the living child and by no means kill him." But the other said, "Let him be neither mine nor yours, but divide him." So the king answered and said, "Give the first woman the living child and by no means kill him. She is his mother." And all Israel heard of the judgment which the king had rendered, and they feared the king, for they saw that the wisdom of God was in him to administer justice. It's amazing how quickly that Solomon was able to think through this situation, determine what to do, and solve that problem and get the correct answer right away. The wisdom of God truly was in Solomon. And as the people heard of the wise judgments of Solomon, verse 28 said that they saw the wisdom of God was in him. Solomon used the gifts that God had given him, gifts of wisdom, knowledge, discernment, and an understanding heart, to be a great blessing to so many others. We too should look for ways that we can use the knowledge God has opened our minds to and use that to be a blessing to others as well. Let's read a bit more about that in the next chapter in 1 Kings chapter 4. Again, along these same lines in 1 Kings chapter 4, we'll begin reading here in verse 29. 1 Kings 4 and verse 29. "And God gave Solomon wisdom and exceedingly great understanding and largeness of heart like the sand on the seashore. Thus Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the men of the East and all the wisdom of Egypt. For he was wiser than all men, than Ethan the Ezrahite, than Heman, Chalcol, and Darda, the sons of Mahol, and his fame was in all the surrounding nations." Verse 32, "He spoke 3,000 proverbs, and his songs were 1,005. Also he spoke of trees, from the cedar tree of Lebanon even to the hyssop that springs out of the wall. He spoke also of animals, of birds, of creeping things, and of fish. And men of all nations, from all the kings of the earth who had heard of his wisdom, came to hear the wisdom of Solomon. You know, sometimes it can be a bit intimidating for us, maybe to be around someone who knows clearly or has more wisdom and knows clearly more about a situation or a topic maybe than we do. But those situations many times also can provide us with the tremendous opportunities for learning and opportunities for growth if we're able to approach them with a humble attitude and with a willingness to learn. God may well put us into some of these situations to give us the opportunity to learn and grow in areas of life that we may have been praying about over the years, things that we have asked him to help us learn and grow in. Sometimes these situations can be a bit uncomfortable for us, but our attitude and our eagerness to learn can provide us with spiritual growth and can help us to draw closer to God in the process. You just wonder how intimidating it may have been to be in the presence of Solomon, witnessing firsthand God's gift of understanding and of unparalleled wisdom. We just read in verse 34 that men of all nations and all the kings of the earth that heard of his wisdom came to hear the wisdom of Solomon. His wisdom was certainly a great blessing to others, to those who sought him out to learn from him. It appears that many people and kings traveled great distances just for the chance to listen to the godly wisdom of Solomon. Now let's read a couple of Proverbs before we go on to lesson number 4. We read Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 through 9 earlier. Let's go back to Proverbs chapter 2 and pick up reading in verse 10. Proverbs chapter 2, and we'll read verses 10 through 13. Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 10. When wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, discretion will preserve you, understanding will keep you, to deliver you from the way of evil, from the man who speaks perverse things, for those who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness. Let's also read Proverbs chapter 8 and verses 32 through 36. To Proverbs chapter 8. And we'll begin in verse 32. Now therefore, listen to me, my children, for blessed are those who keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise, and do not disdain it. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. For whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. But he who sins against me wrongs his own soul. All those who hate me love death. Solomon's wisdom was a blessing to those living at the time of his reign, and his words of wisdom continue to be a blessing for us today, much of it preserved for us in God's word. We read early in 1 Kings 4 and verse 32 that he spoke 3,000 proverbs, and his songs were 1,005. We've barely scratched the surface of the wise writings of Solomon recorded in the Bible, always available for us to learn from. We all should want to grow in the wisdom and the knowledge of God and find ways that we too can be a blessing to others. And now let's go on to a fourth lesson that we can learn from King Solomon, and that is Solomon encouraged seeking wise counsel. Solomon encouraged seeking wise counsel. Now, some of the proverbs that Solomon wrote were specifically about the value of seeking wise counsel. I believe that the fundamental practice of going to people we trust and respect and seeking their input and their advice is quickly becoming a thing of the past. Many people now primarily go to various search engines on the internet to get advice and rarely, if ever, seek wise counsel from other living and breathing humans. Although the internet is a valuable tool for information, it can hardly be classified as wise counsel. Let's read just a few proverbs that talk of the value of seeking wise counsel. Back to Proverbs chapter 1. Pick one verse out of Proverbs 1 we did read earlier, Let's go back to Proverbs chapter 1 and read verse 5 once again. Proverbs 1 and verse 5. A wise man will hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. Solomon says that a man of understanding will attain, will seek out, will look for wise counsel. We can grow in our knowledge by seeking out others for sound advice. We can also ask God to show us wise counselors in certain situations that we may face. Who is someone that we may be able to talk to that has experience or knowledge that would help us in situations in our lives? Turn, if you would, to Proverbs chapter 12. Proverbs chapter 12, and just one verse here, verse 15. Proverbs 12 and verse 15. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he who heeds counsel is wise. This verse, like many of the Proverbs, is very concise and to the point. He who heeds counsel is wise. So seeking wise counsel is step one. Then heeding or using that wise counsel is needed in order for us to grow in wisdom and to grow in knowledge. There are a number of other proverbs that talk of seeking wise counsel that Solomon most likely wrote, and the need to heed wise counsel as well. Let's read just two more before we go on to our final lesson from King Solomon for today. Proverbs chapter 19. Proverbs 19, and we'll read verses 20 and 21. Proverbs 19 and verse 20. Listen to counsel and receive instruction, that you may be wise in your latter days. There are many plans in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the Lord's counsel, that will stand. Let's also go back to Proverbs chapter 24. Proverbs 24, we'll read verses 5 and 6. Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 5. A wise man is strong, yes, a man of knowledge increases strength. For by wise counsel you will wage your own war, and in a multitude of counselors there is safety. In a multitude of counselors there is safety. This proverb is not only encouraging us to seek wise counsel, but also seeking counsel from more than just one or two people. In a multitude of counselors there is safety. Seeking wise counsel, getting input and advice from the knowledge, experience, and perspective of others is a sound and a valuable biblical principle. We read earlier in 1 Kings 4 and verse 31 that Solomon was wiser than all men, and it's from godly wisdom that he wrote the Proverbs that encourage us to seek wise counsel. The fifth and final lesson we'll review from King Solomon today is Solomon's wisdom brought peace and happiness. Solomon's wisdom brought peace and happiness. The end result was a time of peace for the people of Israel and the people of Judah, the people God made him king over after his father David had died. Let's read just two verses about this in 1 Kings chapter 4. Flip back to 1 Kings chapter 4. And we'll read verses 24 and 25. 1 Kings chapter 4, verses 24 and 25. For he had dominion over all the region on this side of the river, from Tiphath even to Gaza, namely all over all of the kings on this side of the river. And he had peace on every side all around him. And Judah and Israel dwelt safely, each man under his vine and his fig tree, from Dan as far as Beersheba, all the days of Solomon. So there was peace on every side all around them, all the days of Solomon. There was safety for the people to raise their families without the worry of being attacked by hostile enemies. That alone would bring happiness for the people of Israel and the people of Judah. Now let's read a few proverbs about happiness and peace as a blessing of the wisdom from God, beginning in Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs chapter 16 and we'll read verse 7. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 7. When a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. We just read that during Solomon's reign, they had peace on every side from their enemies. And apparently God continued to give them peace even after Solomon's epic plunge into idolatry and turning his back on God later in his reign as king. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 3. Back to Proverbs chapter 3. We'll begin reading here in verse 13. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 13. Happy is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding, for her proceeds are better than the profits of silver and her gain than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things you may desire cannot compare with her. Length of days is in her right hand, in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who retain her. Happy is the man who finds wisdom, the wisdom that is from above, and happy is he who gains understanding with the help of God's Spirit through the study of his word. You know, Solomon clearly knew and understood the tremendous blessing and the priceless value of having godly wisdom and knowledge along with an understanding heart. He asked God for these things instead of asking for riches and wealth and honor or long life for himself or the life of his enemies. And God heard and answered Solomon's request and gave him in great measure not only of what he asked for, but God gave him in great measure as well of the things that he did not ask for. There is so much more that we can learn from Solomon, so many more lessons that can help us grow in godly wisdom and knowledge, and so many more proverbs that tie in and reinforce those lessons for all of us. Today, we just reviewed five of those lessons, and we read only a handful of some of the proverbs that tie in with those lessons. The book of Proverbs, all 31 chapters, all 915 verses, the vast majority of which were written by Solomon, is a treasure trove of practical wisdom inspired by God. Many of these proverbs not only tie in with lessons from others in the Bible, but can be most helpful for us today in the various situations that we may face from time to time. Solomon began his reign as king by beseeching God for a greater measure of godly wisdom, knowledge, and for an understanding heart. We would be wise to learn these lessons from Solomon and ask God to bless us with more godly wisdom and knowledge and to give us an understanding heart.